In 1 John, there's a couple of verses in the fourth chapter that I want to look at. I'm just going to read these three verses, and I just want you to see if anything stands out as sounding a little bit unusual about these three verses. This is 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 12, 13, and 14. It says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he's given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." So that's 1 John chapter 4, verses 12, 13, and 14. And this is just one of those things that I love these particular verses, because it just shows us one of those things that catches your attention when you stop and read and you think, hey, wait a minute. And then you realize what he's saying. It just has such power. So in verse number 12, he says, "No one has seen God at any time." That's the way these three verses start off. No one has seen God at any time. And then if you read down to verse number 14, it starts off by saying, "And yet we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." So John is saying that no one has seen God. And then just two verses later, he's saying, "And yet we have seen and testify." So it makes you say, okay, John, so what is it? Because you've just seen that no one has seen God. You just said that. And then two verses later, you're saying that we have seen. How can that be? I mean, that sounds so obviously counterintuitive. It sounds so obviously diametrically opposed to each other. It's only two verses apart. So clearly John knew what he was saying when he said this. So what does he mean when he says these two divergent truths that seem divergent, but obviously they're not? So what's John saying to us? Let's read those again. "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he's given us the Spirit. And we've seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." Well, let's go down to verse number 14, first of all, and look at that. He says, "And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." We can read that, and it's easy for us to say, well, what John was saying was that we have seen. So in other words, John, being one of the disciples, he's saying that we have seen Jesus. And we do know that, obviously, John walked with Jesus. He saw those things. So that's what he's referring to. The "we" is those who had actually seen and walked with Jesus. It's easy for us, for our minds, to say that. But that's not what John is saying. Because when John wrote this, 1 John, most estimates say that it's probably around the year 90 AD. So this is a good 60 years after Jesus had already died and resurrected and ascended to heaven. 60 years have passed. Now, most of the disciples we know were already adult males. Well, all the disciples were adult males at the time of walking with Jesus. They were already adult males. So the odds of any of them, we know that John lived a long life. You know, John is in his 90s. And that means he's got to be a rarity. And we also know that the Bible doesn't tell us this, but as we go through church history, we know that most of, aside from John, all the other disciples, according to church history, were martyred. So when he says "we have seen," he's not talking about himself and the disciples, because he's the only one that's left. And he's probably not talking about "we have seen" as talking about just the masses who saw Jesus, because the truth of the matter is, the majority of those people are still not going to be alive 60 years later. The reality is, in that time frame, even if there was a little child, the odds of that child surviving 60 years, that's pretty rare. So when John is saying, what is he saying then? When he says, "And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world," what is John talking about? We have seen. And especially, again, when we consider the fact that just two verses before, he says, "No one has seen God." What does John mean here? But this is just this is so inspiring. When you understand, you can see what John is saying here. Because when you take this all in context, and you can just take it in these three verses that we read, you just take it in context there. But you take it in context with chapter and with the entire book of John. One of the things that you see, one of the themes you see repeated over and over again, and there's several things that repeat as themes in 1 John, but continually, and we also see this theme when John was writing, when he wrote the gospel, his gospel of John, all those many years previously. We see the theme of abiding. He's continually talking about abiding in God and God abiding in us. This is a theme that goes over and over and over again. So if we take this all in context, and even again, let's look at the three verses. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So John is already saying that God abides in us. It doesn't matter if you've accepted Jesus Christ, and you read this, I mean, you can read this throughout John's gospel and throughout here in 1 John. John is saying, listen, if you've accepted the work of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Jesus came, did his work, there had to be punishment for sin. For your sin, there had to be a punishment. There had to be a price that was paid. And the punishment, the price of sin, was death. Jesus came, and he paid that price. He paid that price for you and for every other sinner. And so if you've accepted the work that he did, if you accepted his sacrifice in your stead, if you accept that work, then all the blessings of Jesus Christ are yours. And once that happens, God himself abides in you. So John's reminding us throughout this book, and he's saying here that God abides in you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God abides in you. This is what he's talking about. But then in verse number 13, he says, but this we know, that we abide in him and he in us because he's given us the Spirit. Now, here's something we need to understand. If you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he abides in you. It doesn't matter. It's not based upon, because for God to abide in you, the whole thing of being a new creation, a new creature, new creation in Jesus Christ at salvation, that whole thought of being a new creation, I mean, what that's talking about is you are a new creature because a part of you, your spirit, soul, and body, your spirit had been dead, or at least it was unplugged. It was not alive in Christ. It was dead because of sin. So a third of who you are was dead. But in Jesus Christ, the Spirit, again, is made, is renewed, is restored. And the Holy Spirit dwells within your spirit. This is even what he's referring to here in verse number 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us the Spirit. So again, John is saying that God abides in you at all times. And since God abides in you at all times, it doesn't matter. This is not to say that you should go off and sin, but the reality is, it doesn't matter how many times you've fallen short. Since you've been a believer in Jesus Christ, have you been sin-free? Have you been perfect? Have your thoughts always been pure and perfect? I'm guaranteeing there's nobody listening to my voice that's able to say yes. Does that mean that God stopped abiding in you? No, because your spirit, man, is made pure, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ dwells within your spirit. Your spirit is righteous and pure as Jesus and always will. It's like your spirit is vacuum-packed, and sin cannot touch your spirit. Jesus dwells there. So John is saying, even though no one has seen God, God abides in us. If you believe in God, he abides in us. And we know that he abides in us and we in him because we have the Spirit within us. Now, here's the reality. God abides in you no matter what. But just because God abides in us doesn't mean that we're always abiding in God. That's a choice that we have to make. God always abides in us. But we can go through our lives and we can ignore Jesus Christ. As a believer, probably all of us have gone through phases. If you've been a believer for any length of time, you've probably gone through phases where you've not abided, where you've actually even turned your back on God. You haven't spent time with him. You haven't spent time in the Word. He's not been the one that was your best friend, your nearest friend. He's not been the one that was your Savior, who you devoted your life to. You've not spent time in church. You've turned away from him. But we've probably all gone through those times. Guess what? You weren't abiding in him, but it didn't stop him from abiding in you. He always did. Why? Because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within your spirit. So let's read those two verses again. No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So we know that he abides in us, because his Spirit is in us. And we are able to abide in him. What does that mean? Well, abiding in him means spending time with him, but it also means, to its greatest, you take it to its natural fulfillment. And abiding in him means, because your spirit is tied to the throne room, is tied directly to the heavenly realm, because his Spirit is in you. So your spirit is tied directly to the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is tied directly through the Holy Spirit to the heavenly realms, to the throne of God. You are tied. There's nothing between. When Jesus died on the cross, it says the veil was rent from top to bottom. That which separated God from man was no longer there. There was no longer that separation. And once you've accepted the work of Jesus Christ and His Spirit is in you, now you have direct access. God abides in you at all times, and we abide in Him by the Holy Spirit. And since he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and we abide in Him by the Holy Spirit, let's look at what he says again. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us. How do we know that God abides in us? Well, we just know it, but we know that it's true because the Holy Spirit abides in us. And how do we know we abide in Him? Abiding in Him means that we are spending time with Him, means that we are with Him in those heavenly realms. You can't see it. It's the spiritual realm. But the truth of the matter is, and this is what John is saying, because of the Holy Spirit in you, you abide in Him. You are right there. There's nothing between you and God. You, in the spiritual realm, abide with Him in His presence because of the Holy Spirit. This is why in the New Testament, so many times, it refers to things like being seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. It's because you are in the spiritual realm. That is a spiritual reality. So I say all that to say this. In verse number 14, when we already saw, he said in verse number 12, no one has seen God. And yet in verse number 14, when he says, yet we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. What he's saying is, it's not he and the disciples who had seen God. In fact, if you take this verse and you compare it to some similar verses that use the exact same verbiage, what you're going to find is he's talking about seeing Him from the beginning. And you can see in the very beginning of 1 John, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 2, says this, and many will follow, nope, that's not the one. Oh, there we go. Chapter 1, I'm in Peter. That's why. All right, so 1 John chapter 1, verse number 2, here we go. Says, life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that the eternal life, which was from the Father, has manifested to us. That whole thing is referring to, and if you read verse number 1, it even says that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have looked upon. What he's talking about from the beginning, that's not just referring to, you look at that word, it's not just referring to in the beginning as in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's in the beginning, as in the beginning of time. And we have, so what John is saying here in verse number 14, we have seen. He's not referring to himself and the disciples. He's referring to every single person, you included today. He's referring to every single person that this letter was being read to. And every single person that's reading this letter of 1 John today. We are the ones that are the we that he refers to here when he says, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. He's talking about you and I. We're the ones that have seen and testify that. And you might say, well, wait a minute. When have I seen that? This is exactly what he's talking about in the verse before. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And because the Holy Spirit's in you, you are connected directly to the spiritual realm, to the throne of God. And so in your spirit, man, you know, and you have seen, and you know the truth of Jesus Christ. And because of that, John is saying, you and I, because we've seen, we then testify. When you think about someone who testifies, because John is saying, you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, he's saying, you have seen God the Father. And he's saying, because of that, you testify. Think about the person that testifies. If you go into a court situation, a person gives testimony. Someone who's a witness, which is what John is saying, he's saying, you're a witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, because you're a witness, you testify. The witness who goes into a court, what is his job? It's to give testimony. It's to give testimony of what he's seen. John is saying, we, meaning you and I, we are the ones that have seen Jesus Christ because he abides in us and we abide in him through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, you dwell. You abide in God in the heavenlies right now. That is the truth, spiritually. Your spiritual man is tied directly to the throne room of God. So you know who Jesus Christ is. And so it's our job to testify. Today, it's our job to be the witnesses of Jesus Christ and give testimony of the things that we know God sent Jesus Christ. To give testimony to Jesus Christ and what you know because of what you've seen in your life and because what you know from the Word of God. Every day, we are witnesses and we're supposed to be the ones who give the testimony of what we know because we have seen. And as witnesses, we give testimony. This is a great three verses. And this is why John can say, no man has seen, and yet we have seen. Because with the natural eyes, no man. You haven't seen Jesus Christ with your natural eyes. And yet he says two verses later, you have seen. We have seen. Speaking about you, you have seen because your spirit man knows. What you can't see with the natural realm, you can see with the spiritual realm. And because you've seen it and you know it, give witness, give testimony today to those who will have ears to hear in your world.